7 o'clock and we will call the planning board meeting to order. First item on the agenda is appointments for the 2019 calendar year. I'll make the, perfect timing.
Timing of an actor.
Sorry. First appointment, I'll make the following resolution. Resolve that the planning board appoint William Lester, deputy chairman, to the planning board to act on behalf of the chairman if he is unable or has a conflict of interest for the 2019 calendar year.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, so moved.
Abstained.
Thank you, Bill.
You don't have to.
Make the following resolution. Resolve that the planning board appoint Alan Yeager, engineer, to the planning board for the 2019 calendar year. Have a second?
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Make the following resolution. Resolve that the planning board appoint Timothy Ferkesi, Esquire, Baldwin, Stufen, and Ferkesi, PLLC, attorney for the planning board for the 2019 calendar year. Have a second?
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
Thank you.
Tim, welcome aboard again. Good to see you.
Good to see everyone.
In a while.
Have you got new chairs?
Nah.
Next item is approval of our special December 17th, December 10th and our special December 17th planning board meeting. Has everyone had a chance to review those?
I assume they haven't changed since you posted them in January.
Nope. Well, some of us have a short memory. We might have forgot we read them, so we read them again.
I know I was good then, so I'm still good.
Could I have a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
I'll move it. Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, so moved. First item of business, old business at this point, is controlled site use. Maravito, Joseph, Anna Maria, Old Vineyards, and 2972 Plainville Road. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Greg.
William.
We decided.
Guys.
Our signage is, it only allows in one town in the ag district, so I'm trying to think of that.
Oh, you got more of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a little bit updated.
Okay. The file is doing first.
Yeah, there's one's a blow up and one's a.
We can't do anything tonight. It's not quite done. Thank you. We can do lead agents. We're gonna do lead agency and speaker.
Plus it's one of the two of us, huh?
Yeah. Well, this gentleman over here had a real concern with drainage, but that's a county road. Then county will work on it. No, he's been putting new reach here. No, nothing's new. It's all existing. New parking. Not disturbing more than the next one. It's really nice.
So, just in general, there's just a couple of things. Julian's working with someone to, he's doing a lighting assessment just to make sure that we're within the bounds.
The lights show up on the 201, the both lights.
Right, that's the other one. There's a 201 also for the sign, right, Julian?
Yep.
So, there's just a location where the former sign was. I mean, the intention is really to not do anything different, not internally lit, just something, you know, that general footprint up within the existing code. We're not really planning on doing anything, ask for anything different than what's allowed. But it would be externally lit, you know, something.
Floodlight on the ground pointing at.
Pointing at the sign.
Yes, not the sign itself illuminated.
Right.
Which is allowed by code, as long as it doesn't spill out of the...
And then, the only other, and I guess it's on both maps, but 201, is zoom in a little bit closer, if you don't mind if I come up here.
No.
So, let's see here. All right, so, street side.
Yeah, it's our code.
There's two areas on.
Our code, only allows you to one seat.
Production barn.
Oh, there's a plant box, it has a sign on it.
This is a location that was bumped out a little bit. We had to plan for someplace for a dumpster, you know, for things that, there really is no other place that makes sense, any of the garbage. You really don't want it to be out front, you don't want it to be visible. This is where our, where both the, you know, sort of mechanical duties are, it's all sort of locating itself over here. Makes the most sense to just account for that space in the back of the barn there. So that's one change. And then the other one is just a little bit more of a descriptive drawing on the entryway to the wine tasting barn. Basically landscaping, it's sort of a French garden look, it's got a fence around the front of it. The purpose for it is to just provide a little bit better of a transition in. Instead of just a door going in, this is just going to be landscaped, you know, pavement, so it's accessible.
Right from the parking lot.
Yeah. So those are really the only changes since the last one.
No, we got the special permit from the ZBA last week.
Yeah, for the country store.
We sent it to the DOT, they asked for site distance calculations, we've done those are acceptable. They asked us to narrow up the farm drive to 20 feet, we've done that.
And that's why...
And they want us to do a beamed up shoulder for the new driveway, southern driveway. You can tell we're looking at the drainage with Al.
Yeah, that's what...
The neighbor had the concern about the drainage going on his property, so we're going to resolve that.
Yeah, that was going to be a question.
Right across the road from the driveway is a neighbor. Over here, where the existing agricultural driveway is, that's where Rick kind of goes in and out of, there was a culvert pipe, it was 8 inches, but it's, must be from the traffic, whatever, it's got crushed. So I've actually had a guy there this week, because I pretty much told the neighbor, I don't want them to worry about, like, I don't want the water there either, I kind of want it to flow. So they had, you know, some things, and I told them I would take care of it. So there's actually a machine right out front right now, just frozen, and we just got snow and whatever, but I intend on opening up that, so that water flows the way that it's supposed to, you know, down. Yes. I mean, this is existing.
But there's no drainage from east to west, is there, under the road?
East to...
I don't believe so.
So what was their concern?
There actually is a, I was looking at Google Earth today, there actually does appear to be a 6-inch tile that goes across there. Why it's there, I don't know. Because when you show a 6-inch pipe, I thought it was just a drain from up in the field. Yeah, there's one that goes on, I just go look at Google Earth at the street view, there's a 6-inch pipe that comes out towards the neighbor's house across the street.
I get the impression. Yeah, I get the impression, just from my recollection, talking with Marie and Tony.
He wants one on the building as well.
Yep. I think that was a drain tile.
He wants one.
That they tried to get water to move from up.
We're going to revamp it.
Yeah.
It just really doesn't do what it is intended to do. Pretty much does nothing, it's right there, really does nothing. The water gets backed up over here.
But nothing crosses to the other side of Plainville Road.
Well, it does through that 6-inch pipe evidently.
Or you can take...
Well, that was one of the statements.
Oh, okay, so that...
And that would be gotten rid of.
Can you put a 32 square?
I mean, there really doesn't need to be, there may need to be there.
No, not, once you do your drainage improvements along your side, it won't need to be there.
You, in looking at the wetlands map, you know water comes from here and here, both sides. And there was some concern at last week's meeting about directing water over there, which, you know, nothing we're doing is going to do that. I understand their concerns, because they, you know, there is a water flow issue just in that general area. But it's certainly not from that, you know, the one pipe that's...
So I don't see any mechanism where the drainage from this project could impact property on the other side of the road.
to the south of that driveway, right?
Yeah.
That driveway, that there's a machine there right now. We're gonna dig out where that culvert smashed, you know, to get that moving.
So it'll go which way?
North.
Should go that way.
Because the water that was coming this way,
well,
into here.
The water that's coming, it's on this side of the driveway.
Yeah.
It's not coming from that direction. It actually comes from right over there.
Yeah, somewhere. I can't remember where exactly I was, but it was.
It's all
culvert that's crushed over.
If you drew a 45-degree angle on the property, that other wetlands down here, everything comes right down and flows right this way. Eventually makes its way over to here. But there's a lot of flow from that corner.
It's pretty flat.
And they're actually getting water from this way too, it doesn't cross.
Yeah, he has water on this side.
But it is from there. If you looked at where the wetlands are, which I was actually looking at that today, with soil and water, it's on both sides of the road. But we should be able to get that to flow along that culvert the way that it was intended to.
Yeah, it is definitely lower farther up.
Yeah, a lot lower.
Yeah, you have 4 foot of fall.
Yeah.
For what your proposed outlet, where did you get 2 foot of fall from your?
397.
Yeah, your outfall is called at 384, you're at 391.5, so you get 3.2 feet of fall between the outlet of the 15-inch culvert under the new, or the proposed approved driveway to the barn, and the 48-inch outfall pipe under, existing outfall pipe under Plainville Road. So there's plenty of fall for the water to make its way north where it's supposed to go.
Now that's a county.
Is that mine or yours?
Yeah, they're responsible for it. We heard at the ZBA meeting, the county is reluctant to deal with that issue.
Yeah, I think neighbors were pretty frustrated about that. They must have, I don't know all the steps they've tried, but, you know, there was obvious frustration, you know, from them, so.
Well, if we do need it, we do have a county legislator that might be able to put some pressure on them if the town could push it through. I don't know, but it's worth a shot.
I can throw my hat in that ring, no problem. It does, something needs to be done, not just about the culvert. It's come both sides. I mean, there's a lot of water hanging out around there. It really should move.
But there's a creek go down here. Let the corner go.
Are we open for other questions?
Yep. This is the time.
I see a septic tank and I see a water well. What's the rules as far as how far apart they have to be?
200.
Doesn't look like 200 feet apart. If I'm reading that, it looks about right. Well, from the septic tank or the leach field, the separation distance.
Leach field's 200 feet.
Yeah.
The leach field's 200 feet.
Right. You have 200 to the leach field, not to the septic tank.
Not to the septic. The septic tank is not a separation required, the leach field. The septic tank is sealed, so no effluent is going.
Where's the leach field?
Up on the hill, they pump up the hill.
Right here.
It's up here?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
here.
That's the leach field up there.
But the septic tank I'm looking at is right in front of the house.
That's the existing one.
That's the existing tank.
We're not touching, nothing's being done.
And that's only 100 foot separation because it's down gradient.
That's why I was asking. Yeah. So we're going to have another one.
And Julian, I think we talked about, but how was that leach field sized based on the, what I'd call the commercial flow, or?
Yeah, we sent a square footage to the barn, anticipated usage.
Sanitary flow, it's not product waste.
No, that's all going in that holding tank you see in the corner.
Oh, there is no
right.
Production
DC
waste is going to.
Yeah, DC won't let us do production into this leach field. Right. So that's going to go to a holding tank and be pumped out.
The other issue that the folks raised the other night related to the amount of water in the well or the amount of capacity the wells to produce water. And I'm wondering, in this operation, is there a potential for you putting another well out here somewhere and being able to use it as well, or?
There's three things that we've talked about as far as the water. The water system for the house and the barn, I think we're gonna add between a 200 and 300 gallon holding tank so that we're not stressing the well. So that's definitely gonna happen in the house, as well as, you know, pretty likely it's gonna happen in the barn. The one thing that came up today in our construction meeting is the likelihood of catching rainwater for flush. And the more we talk about that, the more sense that it makes. You know, there's gutters, the roof on the barn is very big. It does make sense to try to collect that water, and especially for flush water. So
you put in a cistern?
Yeah, it's basically just a cistern in the ground with a pump. It's, you know, we talked about it a couple times, which we haven't even chaired. It just kind of came up today and talking with Steve and Jim. That makes probably a lot of sense to deal with some of the other concerns. And I just think, in general, I think it makes sense to do. So I can't say anything more than I'm 85-90% on board. I just want to understand what's involved, and these guys have done them before. So I like the idea.
Do you serve food here, or will you?
Yeah, there's a catering kitchen that's being built. You know, if we're going to be, you know, serving something with a tasting, you know, that's pretty much the idea. There is a kitchen being sort of designed. It isn't finished.
Well, if you, so it's public drinking water supply. If you're going to hold water, I think there are some regulations.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, so
you're going to have to take that into consideration for a holding tank.
Yeah, yes. For both the house and the barn.
I think for the house you're okay because it's private use, but in the facility, you might have to get an operator.
I don't believe there's an operator requirement for, I think there's this threshold on.
Yeah, depending on the magnitude.
Yeah, number of complexity. Yeah, number of patrons. Now, a holding tank may alter that for obvious reasons. So that would be something.
But just whatever you need to do. I mean, I think that's beyond the site review, but you may have to consider.
I'm sure it'll catch up with Jeff Till as part of the septic system.
Yeah.
No, really, we're waiting on the photometric plan for the exterior lighting, and then signage. As you know, I've talked to you before, our sign code is pretty weak, not very definitive or descriptive. It currently does not address signs on the building. It only addresses a roadside sign of 4 foot by 8 foot, so 32 square feet that can be double-sided. That's allowed. I printed off a guidance document from Ag and Markets for you that essentially overrules our sign code and says that farmers can do what they want with signage as long as it's not excessive. So in this instance, they have mentioned that they may want to put a sign on the building. Our code simply doesn't address whether it is or it is not allowed. The sign on the building, but Ag and Markets clearly says that it would be. So I mean, we would ask to see the details of what they're proposing for the building, because we don't define it in the code. But you know, other than asking to see them, I don't know what kind of rights we truly have, because it is a farm and it is protected by Ag and Markets.
So you want to see the detail of both sides?
Yeah, just the detail of the sign and what you're doing at the roadside and whatever you're putting on the building. Yep. Just not that we really truly have jurisdiction to say yay or nay, but the building sign isn't defined in our code. have a sign as a road that's not exceeding 32 square feet.
Well, and for the board's sake, I mean, whatever it is, once it's designed, we'll be conservative on it. It's not the sort of place that
yeah, you go off the
flat. Doesn't go along with what we're doing. So, I mean, whatever it is, we'll share well ahead of time. We're still working on the logo.
This is in a gravel drive, Al, there's no requirement for striping to identify the number of spots. I mean, it's plenty large enough.
But. Yeah, there is not. Okay. I mean, it's, as we recall, it's one spot for 250 square feet of retail area. So, yeah. I mean, they only need seven spots, and they're proposing, I'm assuming the seven spots over here next to the side entrance are for workers or labor and staff, and the spaces out in front, the 22 spaces out in front would be for patrons.
So it said something about a holding tank for like wash down and all.
Yeah, I can show you where it's actually a few.
Should you have the other map?
Yeah.
So
this is actually going to be moved up here to the this corner. It's not the mechanical room's over here. Mm-hmm. This was the original location. It's going to be up here, so they can drive a truck in and pump it out. Roughly 2,000 gallons for all the utility space washed down area. And there was a question that came up today about the another conversation about the grape skins and things. Those are likely just become fertilizer compost. We're likely to go back. Fairly customary, so that's basically washed down water in that tank from the floor drains. Really nothing else is on the floor, I'm just the floor drains, right? Yeah.
I noticed reading the county's review that they're talking about a stormwater management plan, but I see that we're disturbing less than 1 acre.
Correct.
Is that still the case?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Was it the case when it went to the county?
Yes.
Okay.
The boilerplate response.
What did it disturb?
The holding tank.
And
go back to this. Does it have some? I mean, you anticipate 1,000 gallons per washdown, and you're a factor of two. And what happens if your truck can't get there on a particular day? Is there excess capacity available at 2,000 gallons?
You know, I would be completely speculating. I know there's not a lot of water usage. We're just basically talking about, you know, some cleaning, and I think we just need to be mindful of that and make sure we stay ahead.
Okay.
And considering it's really only the floor drains going into it, there's not a lot of surprises with it, so it's something that we can watch and definitely stay ahead of effectively, I think.
Put a flow with an alarm on it, so when you get
yes.
close, it throws a light.
I wish I had a better answer on that one. Yeah. It's hard for me to tell.
There was some mention at the other meeting that you might be thinking about a B&B or a tourist home for the rest of the house, or the three bedrooms upstairs. You're aware that there are requirements that are different from having just a house for a tourist home or a B&B, fire exits and so on and so forth. We've been through one of those before, and I assume you're aware that that would be another site approval that would have to come back to this board.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions at this time? Following resolution. Resolve that the planning board, having followed the prescribed secret procedures and having received no comments to the contrary, hereby designates itself as lead agency for the Joe, how do you pronounce that?
Strigo.
Strigo. I just want to make sure I'm saying it right. Strigo Winery, 9272 Plainville Road, Baldwinsville, New York. Control site use application. Do I have a second?
No second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Do the short form secret. Will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulation?
No.
Will the proposed action result in a change in the use of intensity of use of land? Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? There's no need for traffic study or anything involved with it because of the small numbers, so that we know.
Did the county ask for a traffic count? They did not. Okay.
Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? Will the proposed action impact existing public or private water supplies? Public or private wastewater treatment? Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, e.g. wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, flora, fauna? Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? Nope.
Nope.
Better not. Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health?
No.
What's there?
There was a little tavern and a store. That's a bar. That was a bar. It's a little store. No, it's not.
That's a thing called Lysander.
Mm-hmm. It's like a little unicorn, which is really that big.
For discussion, can we revisit the first question? Land use plan.
Will the proposed action create a material conflict with the adopted land use plan or zoning regulation?
Do we have a land use plan? Does it go into that area?
Yeah. We cited it in the ZBA meeting, in the letter I wrote to the ZBA board.
Okay.
And this is in compliance with the recommendations included in the comprehensive land use plan.
All right.
Yep.
That's all.
I make the following resolution. Resolve that having reviewed the seeker regulation, determined this is an unlisted action, and having reviewed the short environmental assessment form, and finding no significant or adverse impacts resulting from Stiergo Winery, 9272 Plainville Road, Baldwinsville, New York, controlled site use application, the planning board issues a negative declaration. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. At this time, until we get the signage and the other stuff finalized, we'll table our final action of approval till that stuff is resolved. Probably be our next meeting, I would assume.
Yes.
All right.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, they could go back to the variance. Yeah. They were just, I said, We could possibly have the code change by the time he gets ready to sign it too, because we're going to revisit the language anyway.
This doesn't have a guy stuck.
No.
Next item is a minor subdivision, Lanson and Dingle Hole Road, Casavo Slavic.
You have to help him out with that one.
I can't handle his name, I'm sorry, I apologize.
There you go. You want to give him a map so he can put it on the board for him?
Yep.
He's got one up there, isn't he?
Did I put it up there already?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's already up there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my name is Slavic Casavo, I'm representing my, I'm friends of the family, Coots, been friends with them for around 20 years. The fact that I'm in the real estate construction business, I've never done a subdivision yet, so this is my first meeting. I've done residential builds, new builds, remodels, things like that. So they bought this 46 acres with an old house on the corner of Lamson and Dingle Hole. Their plan was, they've been looking for land to build a house for themselves for a few years, just hard to come by with good land. And they came across this with an old house. They thought about maybe remodeling the old house, temporarily living there while they kind of design and get an idea of what they want for a new house. But now they went through the house and they're thinking, you know, they wanted to potentially build a house on this. So we want to divide three lots on Lamson Road, have three lots, have them be 250 feet road frontage with a depth of 350, and to offset their cost, what they paid for the whole parcel of 46 acres, they want to probably sell off the three lots eventually, or possibly build on those lots and sell the spec houses. But their personal house would be on this remaining 40 acres, close to this tree line here, probably 200 to 200 feet away from on Dingle Hole Road, away from the road. They're not sure exactly, you know, what their setback will be. As they design things, then I guess they'll decide at that point. But they were thinking around 200 feet at least, just to be away from the road a little bit. I don't have the approval from the county DOT for Lamson Road driveways, but I spoke to Terry Morgan, and he's supposed to send a crew out there. He just obviously booked and he couldn't get anything this quick. But when I went over there, he took a look on Google Earth, took a little look at both directions for sight distance. I mean, it's a straight shot for a mile, 2 miles. He said there shouldn't be an issue whatsoever. We did put based on his recommendation, put stakes in the centers of each proposed lot on Lamson Road, so when his crew goes out there, they can mark, you know, I believe 12 feet away from the white line, the shoulder line, 12 feet into the lot, so they can calculate the sight distance. But based on what he saw on the Google Earth, there's no trees. The only trees really are on this on this side lot, which, I mean, he took a look on the Google Earth. He said that there shouldn't be an issue. They're scattered and they're far towards the side of the property. When we do go for the actual permits to the driveways, whether it's now or as they sell off the lots, because, I mean, if somebody wants potentially to build a house maybe on this side, they might want a driveway on this side as opposed to kind of closer to the other lot. I think then we'll get more of a concrete answer and the exact designated spot from the DOT where they want it. But based on what Terry Morgan told me, how the topography of the land is, he doesn't see any issue to put the driveway anywhere on any of these lots, the three lots.
It's pretty flat on Lamson, right?
Yeah, it's flat and just straight shot.
So there's no site, but...
Not really, I mean, usually that, you know, that concern is if there's hills or turns in the road. But on Dingle Hole Road, I've yet to talk to somebody at the highway, because that's not a county, that's a town road.
You don't know exactly.
So when they decide kind of roughly where they want the driveway, I'll go to the highway department, speak to them, and where they suggest it, which I don't think, in that case, there should be any issue there. Same thing, it's flat, straight shot.
Or 690.
Depends on where they decide at that point to build it. We did have an engineer before they purchased the property to do perk tests, because that was our plan. If they're going to pay this amount of money for this hole, we want to make sure that there is a potential of putting up houses there. So we did have an engineer out there. He did perks on all four proposed locations of houses. I did give the times to Karen. He doesn't have a design or anything, he just did the perk times.
Yeah, it's included in their package.
Okay. So the perk times are there. It's for a conventional system, perked well in all four spots. He did two perks per lot, basically, all perked well. He didn't see any issues he would do in a conventional system for any of the lots.
You're not proposing any development back in the area where the wetlands are, right?
No, we're staying, I mean, based on that FEMA, the floodplain, normally I call them before they purchased it. They have a 100-foot buffer that you have to be from that zone. I mean, we're well from that, based on that 200, I would say it's beyond 200 feet where their proposed house will be. Their actual one.
It says this is a federal wetland anyway, right? It's not a state wetland.
Well, this is a floodway. This is defined as a floodway.
Yeah.
Has it been delineated at all for wetlands?
Not that I know of, no. We haven't done anything, obviously. Not sure about the past, if anything was done.
Can't really look at anything to see what the gradients are.
I would... I would question whether or not there's not some areas that would delineate as wetlands, particularly on your large lot.
But would a delineation have to be done if they're not disturbing any of that? They're not building in that area?
Yeah, at this point in time,
I guess
it wouldn't
be more. As long as they know that going in.
Yeah.
He wants to do something on this large lot, right? One house.
Just their one home.
Oh, one house up in
there. The one house that they would build for themselves would be... So those are the perk holes. Mm-hmm. So they were thinking about putting a driveway somewhere along the line, along the edge of the tree lines, mm-hmm. roughly here, and putting a house, like I said, around 200, maybe 200 feet from Dingle Hole Road. So it'd be somewhere right here. So we're, well, based on that.
You're well back from a floodway.
Yeah, from the line, the wetland.
And if you look at the contours that are there, it looks like it's a... ridge. We've got 406 contours.
Well, but then there's nothing past that.
Yeah, so this area, I mean, we were just down there a few weeks back. We went to the actual creek, I'd call it, and standing where the bottom, where the mm-hmm. top of the creek is, I would say it's a good 10 to 15 feet at least. Kind of a hill. You're kind of climbing this hill, and then you get to this flat area. So this is very low. It's not, if you come over here, this is more of a flatter area. It's kind of all, there's not much topography there. But from here, all this area, it goes up, and then this, I think this used to be some type of blueberry field. I mean, I know there's obviously, in the past, there was actual blueberries here growing, but the previous owners told us that there was some on this side of the road also. And just before purchasing the property, we walked in, there's few blueberry plants here and there that I guess were left over that didn't die off. But it's not being used for any farm use right now, and it's kind of just brush, basically. No trees in this area, and then you got the hardwoods starting here, and it's, you know, they're hardwoods, 16, 20 inch diameter, various oak, pine, all sorts of different trees.
It's all hardwood.
What is the area zone?
No, it's nice. It's ag.
Agricultural, I believe.
80,000 square foot lots.
If you were to...
How do you make these lots on lamps in this? How do you make the little lots on lamps in if it's that standard?
They're two acre lots.
They're 2 acres.
They're not little.
And they've got the minimum of the 200, but we did 250 just because we couldn't do four there, so we figured we'd divide it out evenly throughout all the lots, although we did make the corner lot a little bit bigger, just in case if somebody... And we did, obviously, we're doing, you know, with the DOT, we put the three stakes on Lamson in case there is an existing driveway right here for this older house. In case whoever buys that old house and they decide to remodel it, they decide to demolish it and put a road on Lamson as opposed to Dingle, that way they have the option to do either or. I'm sure most likely somebody would just keep Dingle Hole access. Lamson's a little bit busier. But just wanted to kind of, as a precautionary step, just have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's good. 40 acres.
Get more opportunity to discuss this.
The only thing I would think is if you do go to develop this, I would recommend that your contours be carried a little bit further to the
south.
To the south? Well, just a little bit further if you plan on developing here to show that this area, that you have a rise here from this floodway to where you're proposing possible development.
Okay. I would agree with that.
Right now you have one contour and that doesn't tell me whether the creek is, you know, 405.5.
Okay, I'll have the surveyor.
Yeah.
Dennis Everett is the surveyor that did this proposed plan, so I think that he'll be able to pop that in.
Okay.
I mean, as you approach, if you're going north on Dingle Hole, as you approach Lamson Road, there's a significant grade change there.
Okay, yeah. I see there's a 4 and a 2 contour there. You know, they're discontinuous, but I can understand that it's dropping. It'd be nice, though, to show that so that it's presented on the drawing.
Following resolution, resolved that the planning board, having followed the prescribed seeker procedures and having received no comments to the contrary, hereby designates itself as lead agency for the Nicolay Nadesta?
Nadia is short.
Yeah.
For that.
Coots.
Oh,
what is short?
Nadia.
Coots, Dingle Hole and Lamson Road, Baldwinsville, New York, minor subdivision application. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Short form seeker. Will a proposed action create a material conflict with the adopted land use plan or zoning regulation? No. Will a proposed action result in a change in the use or intensity of use of land? Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community?
No.
Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No. Will the proposed action impact existing public or private water supplies? No. Will public or private wastewater treatment facility? Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, wetlands, water bodies, etc.? No. Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, drainage, or problems? Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No. Make the following resolution. Resolve that having reviewed the SEACER regulation, determined this is an unlisted action, and having reviewed the short environmental assessment form, and finding no significant or adverse impact resulting from Nicolay and Nautica Coots, Riverhold and Lamson Road, Baldwinsville, New York, minor subdivision application, the planning board issues a negative declaration.
One second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, so moved. Resolve that a public hearing be held at a date and time designated by the secretary on the application of Nicolay Nescu-Coots, a subdivision of property located at Dinglehole and Lamson Road, Baldwinsville, New York, tax map number 0025-01-08 for the development of four lots from a parcel of approximately 60 acres.
Second.
Discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is an amendment to our planning board fee schedule. In March, the town board put a new regulation in for in lieu of land for public use and added apartments at 500 per unit. We have to add that to our fee schedule. And we are also providing some language just to clarify and reaffirm our normal practice that fees in lieu of land for public use must be paid prior to the final plat approval. Do we do this as a resolution?
Yes.
Are we proposing?
It's already been adopted by the town board and at their January meeting.
Yeah,
January 3rd.
They already did it. We, Karen had to update the schedule.
They're the ones that set the fees. We don't.
Right.
Yes. We're just passing a resolution amending our. This is our payment. I make following resolution that the planning board fee and deposit schedule is amended to show and include now the apartments, $500 per unit for, in lieu of land fees, and that the language fees in lieu of land for public use must be paid prior to final plat approval be amended.
A second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved.
Is occupancy held until they have a final plat?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's good.
That's all that we have on the agenda, but you all received a copy of this document from Karen about the FCC new regulations regarding 5G. And at the last town board meeting, the town board passed a resolution requesting that the planning board prepare recommendations for them regarding those areas where local municipalities currently have some flexibility with regard to this matter, mainly fees, aesthetic issues, siting of poles, et cetera. It's not something we're going to act on tonight, obviously, because we're all trying to catch up to speed with it. Tim, I was wondering in your capacity, any of the other areas you work with working on this and what might be going on?
Yes, and actually, if you're going to the Syracuse Onondaga County Planning Federation Conference on the 7th, they're having a specific session on this, which I will be moderating, by the way. So we will be discussing it at length with some of the private telephone operators who are going to be telling us their thoughts on it. And that's why they want me there, to moderate it on behalf of the municipalities, to explain, you know, what the law is and what can and can't be done. Your ability to restrict is very limited in terms of microcells and in terms of the 5G. Congress has passed several laws that restrict our ability because they are considered a utility under federal law, and they have a public purpose. Your ability to restrict is limited, even more so than it is for cell towers. But we will be discussing it at that meeting. And yes, everybody's looking at this issue.
Is that the last session of the day?
No, the last session is my session. That'll okay. be the case law update. This will be right before the that one. So I'm going to moderate that, and then I'll do the case law update.
What's the title of that one? I want to
Bill and Doug have signed up for that one.
Huh?
Bill and Doug signed up for that one.
I want to sign up for that one, too. I didn't realize that one was,
yeah.
What was on there.
I already put it in, but I'm sure I can make that change.
I was wondering if I signed up.
And they're going to be all over. There's going to be...
Somebody approached us a year ago to have them throughout Radisson.
Yes, there will be. Yeah,
I mean, they only have a mile range.
Yes, and they're not very intrusive. In terms of their visual impact, they obviously meet all the standards of the federal of the FCC. So the difficulty is there's going to be so many of them
and quite tall, right?
I mean, some of them, but
not all of them.
No.
Yeah, listen, my understanding of it is that a lot of them are hubs on top of existing utility poles that transmit back to a higher antenna. That's regionally local.
They're really boosters for existing
cell signals.
What happens when you go into a residential development area that has no poles? They have to put poles.
Yeah, we'll put a pole in, and it looks like a utility pole. And
in those instances, it would probably be more like a light pole.
Yeah, that's what I mean, a light pole. It'll look like a metal light pole.
What would be one how many?
What's that?
They'll put a pad on an existing light pole, wherever possible.
Yeah.
But there was one proposed for a local municipality here. It's 4 foot in diameter, and it was 78 feet tall. I mean, it was quite obtrusive.
Yeah, that would be, that's unusual.
I was going to say, that would be a collector tower, is my understanding. So these smaller pods actually transmit back to a collector tower. There was one that they proposed right here in Radisson over the west side of Willow Parkway in the industrial park area that, and I think that was all on speculation of the company that came into upstate New York that was essentially trying to lock up the rights to put these systems in place and probably resell them back to the cell providers that would be using them.
Some of the photos actually, it looks like they had a bunch of junk hanging off the bottom of them.
Say that again?
It looked like they had a bunch of junk hanging off the bottom of them. I wasn't sure what that was, and that did look pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Would they have to come before the board?
Well, that's the question. Karen just asked whether they would have to come before the board. There is a recently passed regulation which seems to indicate that if it's a co-location or if it's on something
by right with building
by
code.
Right, mm-hmm. They should be able to do that. I know a little more than a little bit about it right now. I'll know a lot more about it in about 3 weeks when I do my preparation for it. So,
so we should delay giving our recommendation to the town board until after Tim educates us on the 7th at least.
We have an insider here that's going to help us.
So it is a utility substation.
And these are coming. Isn't there another problem too with them?
I'm sorry?
These are coming.
Oh, they're coming.
Well, you can't stop them.
Yep. But there's an issue or something with them.
Well, there's a concern.
There are some concerns, yes.
Yeah, the same concern they have when cell phones
first come out. But the thing you can't, and this is where everybody gets kind of bogged down in this. There are things you can regulate, like the fee schedule, like the aesthetics to some degree. The one thing you can't say is, this is a health problem, or it's going to cause a health problem, because under the Federal Communications Act of 1996, they determined through studies that they aren't going to be. There's a standard by which they meet. As long as they meet that standard in terms of the amount of radio frequency that's coming off of these towers, then they are presumed to be not a health risk. And that's the big concern. But now there are many people who will be out there saying, this is a different technology. There's going to be so many more of them, and they're going to be, they're going to be into our neighborhood everywhere. Nobody's really calculated what the impact of that's going to be.
My understanding of those studies is it's all based on frequency of the wavelength.
And they're short, right?
That's not what I've heard though is the problem. I mean, I heard the problem is there's only one manufacturer, it's Chinese, and they're very concerned about the use of U.S. communications, which
Chinese equipment.
It's like the only people who make it.
Well, I don't know. I think that's beyond our pay grade.
But it might slow up the advance of it, is what I heard.
Okay. Well, I'm not aware of that. I can tell you that all the cell tower companies are very hot on this subject, and they have spent a lot of money in lobbying Congress on these issues, and
it's supposed to be really fantastic. I mean, it's supposed to make things go really well.
Anyway, this will be something we'll be working on in the future.
Is there any likelihood that will interfere with radio or TV reception?
We're not supposed to. On a different frequency. It's supposed to be on a different frequency. They put them at different levels so that they don't. They're not supposed to.
All right. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So moved. Thank you.
I'd be interested in everything in your court case for yours.
There's a conspiracy theory.
Well, they have, the problem was Verizon was going to be the presenter, and then the county got they got in a box because they're like, well,
they're choosing Verizon.
Yes, they're choosing Verizon. So now they got another, and they're like, well, but if they have the, if they have the private entities making these presentations, that's not fair. So then they called me and said, well, you come in at least present the municipal side of it, so.
The ones that they. I will, I can have them ready for you tomorrow. Here's like at December 17th. But the other one. Yes, we had two meetings in December. That was just the YMCA. That was in January. We canceled the January meeting.
Oh, this is the December?
Yeah, we didn't do January.
Oh, God.